Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are the biggest show in radio because of you guys, all 50 states and bunches, 400 plus affiliates. We thank all of you as we roll in third hour here on the Thursday edition. And we are joined now by the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, Kevin Warren. Commissioner Warren, thanks for joining us. And I got to say right off the top, a lot of news coming down in the college sports universe with yeah. Texas and Oklahoma potentially interested in the SEC. Where were you when you heard the news, and what was your thoughts as that spread yesterday?
I was here in Indianapolis when I heard the news. But, you know, these things have been kind of circulating from a rumor standpoint, you know, for a while. So it did not, you know, the actual news when I heard it, it was kind of like, okay, I've been hearing that for the last couple weeks. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I just think it just reaffirms what I've said before, is that we're at a unique time in college athletics, and all of these different issues from name, image, and likeness to, you know, the impact of the Austin ruling, to college football potential expansion, to potential schools joining other conferences. All those different things are where we are in college athletics. And I think you're going to – this will be the first of a lot of news that will happen over the next 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 to 2 to 3 years. That's where we are in college athletics, and it'll be an exciting time.
If the SEC expanded to 16 – does that, as mm-hmm. the SEC's primary rival, you're running the Big Ten Conference, does that to you signify that it would make sense for the Big Ten to expand to 16? How would Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, if it happened, sort of alter the paradigm of your responsibility as the commissioner of the Big Ten, or would it at all?
Yeah, well, I just think from a conference alignment standpoint, you know, these are the things that you always keep in mind as far as, you know, where you are from a conference, you know, what's the best interest of your schools from a short, medium to long term. That's not something that I would just say, you know, causes, I mean, just speaking from our conference, doesn't, you know, cause a conference like us to say, oh, now we have to run out and figure something out. I mean, you always have to do, you know, what's in the best interest, one, of your conference, and also your student athletes. And so that's a great question you asked, but it's a broader question. You know, what's the impact on media rights agreements? What is the impact on bowl agreements? What's the, you know, impact on, you know, operational? Are there any academic, you know, constraints or items that you need to make sure that you focus on? So all of those issues are wide-ranging. You know, it's something that I definitely keep up on. It's something that I always working through my own, you know, personal plan from a conference standpoint, always looking over the horizon. So I'm just excited that, you know, we'll have an opportunity, like I said, to start really working through these, you know, kind of issues. And so it'll be interesting to watch and observe. And we need to just continually focus on, you know, just always, and, you know, from a Big Ten standpoint the proper, you know, fit, not only currently, but in the future in the Big Ten Conference.
Hey, Kevin, it's Buck here. I just want to know the NFL.
Hey,
there's
Buck, how are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. NFL teams will be forced to forfeit if unvaccinated players cause COVID-19 outbreak. That's the New York Post just in the last few minutes now. I'm just wondering, is that something – how's that going to work out for your conference, and if you have any insight into just broader – broader conferences out there, is it likely that they're going to have a similar policy where if there's a COVID outbreak on a team and they can't reschedule it within the existing season, there may be a loss?
Yeah, so one of the things, that's a wonderful question. One of the things we are working on June 6th, we had an opportunity to meet with our chancellors and presidents at our semiannual meeting with them. And they voted during that meeting to really decentralize our decision-making process and make sure that we provide those opportunities and decisions from a COVID-19 policy and procedure standpoint to our 14 individual institutions. We trust our schools. We trust their medical staffs. We trust the coaches and the athletic directors and the chancellors and presidents and everyone involved on campus. And we trust that they're going to do the right thing. That being said, we're in the current process right now of gathering those proposed policies that our 14 institutions will come up with. And we're scheduled to get those in early August. And then once we get those, we have a system that we're going to lay them all out and evaluate them and to see if there are any, you know, gaps in what has been proposed and if there's anything that we need to either at the conference level or at the school level fill in to deal with some of those questions. But the beautiful thing about it is that we're 37 days away from today of watching our kicking off the college football season with watching Illinois play Nebraska. So we're right on time. We're right where we want it to be. We want to gather the information, collectively come together to do this in a collaborative manner with our athletic directors and our chancellors and presidents, then make a determination to see what those decentralized policies will look like and what role, if any, the conference office will play in that. And then once we get it, then we'll take it public and announce it, but we'll have it done in plenty enough time before the kickoff of our season on it's coming up here pretty quickly.
We're talking to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. You mentioned name, image, and likeness. It's a crazy time in terms of all the adjustments that are going on in college athletics. What do you think's the impact going to be? And maybe more important, when you were a college athlete, what product would you want to endorse? Would there have been a restaurant? Would there have been somewhere that you would have wanted to be able to say, I'm Kevin Warren and I love this product? Where was your place?
Right. I love that question. I think NIL is quite naturally it's here to stay. And it's just it will become part of the fabric of college athletics. It has become part of the fabric of college athletics. And I think the schools, the conferences that are able to kind of figure out how to handle NIL from a positive standpoint will do better than other schools and conferences that do not figure out how to handle it. But, the student athletes deserve this. I believe that. I'm a big believer in that. They have earned this right to monetize their name, image, and likeness. My concern is always is to make sure that they're educated on how to handle it because a lot of people think money is numbers. Money is not a numbers. It's just a different language. And so when you get involved with money, you need to understand that new language. What are the tax implications? How can you invest it? How do you handle it? The impact of the team, the impact on your family, and just to be, smart about it. Because at the end of the day, you have to keep the main thing. The main thing, if a student athlete is approached about an NIL opportunity, is because they're a good student athlete. And so you want to remain a good student athlete. You want to focus on your craft and grow and learn and practice and prepare to be able to do that. So I'm excited, for it. As I said, I'm all for our student athletes learning. And the thing I'm excited about it most is I think it will be an actual apprenticeship for our student athletes to learn about business, about branding, about marketing, about sales, and really about business to activate their brand. So that's the thing that makes it most exciting, for me from that standpoint.
And Kevin, can I ask you? I know you just took over this role.
No, who would you have endorsed? Sorry, I also asked you who you would endorse.
Yeah, who I would have endorsed? That is a wonderful question. I was a low level person in college, meaning I wasn't flashy, so it definitely would not have been a jewelry company or a clothes company. I probably would have done something with probably like leather goods. I was really into my dad carried a briefcase, and so I people still tease me. I had a briefcase in high school and in college, and so I probably would have loved to do like a really nice upscale leather goods company. To carry my books around my college campus, and so it would have been great to be able to do something, with a company like that.
So, Kevin, what's it been like to be in this role during COVID? Obviously, changed a lot of things up from I'm sure what your expectations were. Trial by fire, but also quite an experience. What have you learned?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned the importance of making sure that you have to have collaboration, you have to communicate, and when you think you've communicated everything, keep communicating. And so I just have learned that it's really important. So one of the things I'm really focusing on, again, this year is to make sure that our chancellors and presidents and athletic directors and our on-campus constituents and people in the conference office, that we have clarity in our communication and probably over-communicate and to make sure when decisions are made that our chancellors and presidents and athletic directors and head coaches and faculty athletic representatives and senior women administrators, all the individuals on campus are involved, clearly involved in, you know, in that process. And so, but the other thing I learned is just that we need to count our blessings. We all, to think about what you all do on a daily basis is it's amazing. And to have an opportunity, if people had told you years ago that you would, we have a chance to have a successful show like you have, you know, this is a dream come true. And so I just always have to recognize, that our goal here is to create a conference and environment that allows our student athletes the opportunity to be student athletes. They're not professionals, they're amateurs, to get a world-class education from one of our 14 main schools and some of our affiliate schools, and then have a chance to compete at the highest level in college athletics and compete for national championships. That's really what the mission of it is here. And I think so long as we keep those priorities in mind, and it's so good to be here at Football Media Day, see the coaches and see our student athletes dressed in student ties and looking good, speaking very well. It just reiterates of why the Big Ten is the Big Ten, and it's a special place to be able to work here.
Kevin Warren, we appreciate the time. Good luck pursuing members 15 and 16 to try and match the SEC.
Yeah, so, okay, I appreciate that. And both of you all, I appreciate the work you do. Every time I come on, I really enjoy it. And congratulations on your success. Keep it going. And here, I'm here for you anytime you call, and I look forward to seeing you all in person. So have a great day, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, sir.
That is Kevin Warren, Commissioner of the Big Ten. And as we go to break here, look, Dan in New York said, I wasn't particularly satisfied with Relief Factor the first time I tried it. I've been for 10 to 12 years a semi-pro bodybuilder. I was getting ready to have a shoulder replacement done prior to COVID-19. Then I was listening to the radio and hearing the Relief Factor commercial over and over again. I decided to try again, and it's like night and day. I was in excruciating pain, but now my mobility's way better. My pain's very limited. Such a great product. And I got to tell you, that is Dan in New York. I know for sure Relief Factor's helped my wife, and it's made a big difference for her. She's relatively young, 44 years old, but she is working out like crazy all the time. She's in incredible shape. Oftentimes, she needs help recovering from all of her workouts, and it can make a big difference for her. Make a big difference for your dad as well, Buck.
Yeah, my dad's 73, plays golf all the time. He's actually got a birthday coming up real soon.
Happy birthday, Mr. Buck Dad.
Not quite yet.
Almost.
Like, we're a few days away, but thank you, Clay. I'll pass that one along.
Yes.
But Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product that my dad takes, my mom takes. It addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder. Created by doctors and based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation, the kind you get from aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
Speaker Pelosi has taken the unprecedented step of denying the minority party's picks for the Select Committee on January 6th. This represents something that has not happened in the House before for a select committee by the historian. It's an egregious abuse of power. Pelosi has broken this institution, made it undeniable this panel has lost all legitimacy and credibility. And it shows exactly what I warned back at the beginning of January, that Pelosi would play politics with this. Pelosi has created a sham process. Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all 5 Republicans, we will not participate. We will run our own investigation.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. January 6th Commission. You heard there Kevin McCarthy talking about the sham of this commission that Pelosi's pulling together. Remember, she blocked Jim Banks, Representative Banks, and Congressman Jim Jordan. And Clay, we're having Congressman Jordan on tomorrow.
Yeah, he's just a fantastic guy. But he's going to be on with us in the second hour of the program. By the way, we just talked to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, and Jim Jordan, big sports fan and also a Big Ten alum. But this goes to the incredible hypocrisy and sham investigation that is going on into the, in quotation marks, insurrection, Buck, right? This is just designed to be a story that I think is at its best for the Democratic Party, going to distract from all the other failures that are going on with their leadership. And it is going to continue their theme of Republicans are dangerous. They want to destroy the democracy of the United States, right? That's really the theme of this. And if Jim Jordan is going to push back aggressively, which he would have, then and probably make better arguments than many of the Democrats on this committee, then they don't want that battle to actually be taking place.
The big problem, as I see it with this, even apart from what's obviously going to be an incredibly biased and politically charged effort to smear, the purpose of the January 6th commission is to smear all Republicans, to undermine all conservatives, not the people who actually engaged in the riot, not just the few hundred people that went too far. No. Everybody, anybody who is on the right gets lumped in with them so that they can create a narrative of, if you support, let's say, Donald Trump, were he to run again, or even to support the Republican Party that Donald Trump will be on the stump for out there on the campaign trail supporting the midterms, you are de facto supporting the insurrection. But Clay, what's so fascinating about this, we can get into more of these details and also where we are with Biden and crime, which is a big problem for the Democrats. We'll discuss how they're just full of it on crime. But a big problem they have is, if they really want to use this as a commission for Congress, they're going to have to show us the thousands of hours collectively of surveillance footage inside the Capitol that they have and they will not release. Why? Why can't we see what happened? Why can't we know? Why can't we know who shot Ashley Babbitt and why? What was the legal justification? Why can't we see the communications between different members of Capitol Hill police and the hierarchy and other security organizations and agencies leading up to and the day of January 6th to see what the heck happened? We should be using this to see how could this go on. But Clay, that's not the point of this. In fact, they're hiding the very reason that you would have such a commission. They're hiding evidence that we should see from that.
Well, and not only that, Buck, I mean, the big sham here is we had months of riots that nobody wants to examine at all over this country, with very real consequences that are more substantial than what happened on January 6th. And everyone is pretending that they didn't happen at all. If you choose to believe Google, all you need to do is surf the internet privately in incognito mode, and you're not going to be tracked. Right? Wrong? No. People know that you are going to be tracked by your ISP, and they can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. They make sure your ISP and third party can't see through. They are phenomenal. You need to protect your online activity today as well with the VPN I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck.
This is James Golden, host of the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. The next episode in our series is out. Make sure to listen wherever you get your podcast. We're sharing so many behind-the-scenes stories, remembering the man we love. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors.
The Democrats normalize anarchy. They normalize rioting and looting. And when rioters and looters attacked our law enforcement personnel, when rioters and looters destroyed small businesses, what did Democrats do? They went out and raised money to bail them out of jail, and they continue to talk about defunding the police, and in fact did that in all these major urban areas, which is why crime is up. So they don't want to talk about that stuff. They just want to be partisan. They just want to continue to attack the former president. They want to play their political game. So I applaud Leader McCarthy for saying we're going to do our job. We're going to continue to work and get to the bottom and answer the questions that the leader raised, the questions that, frankly, the American people want answers to.
Strong words by Jim Jordan there. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. And what the congressman is saying is obvious to all of us. I still remember what I refer to as the purge night here in New York City, where you had a rampaging Antifa mob on Fifth Avenue, main shopping district, breaking store windows, looting. They broke into department stores, broke into cell phone stores, stole stuff, all and just running rampant all night long. These are Biden voters, okay? These are Democrats, leftists. This happened at different times in different places all over the United States. And if you're really thinking about insurrection, I mean, if you're thinking about insurgency, you would look at what happened and say, this is a way to pressure a, not just a government, pressure a society to collapse, Clay, to start to undermine law enforcement, to make it impossible for them to do their job, to create a culture of lawlessness, and to make people afraid in their own neighborhoods unless they go along with the mob. There has been no accountability for that whatsoever. The media pretends like it didn't happen. The BLM uprising of 2020 was a national disgrace, but we can't talk about that. Only the January 6th riot. That's the only riot.
Not even all the riots that took place all summer, Buck, but every major city, they had boarded up all of the city for election day and election night. They weren't doing that if Joe Biden won. They were doing that if Donald Trump had won. And so this idea, and I think Jim Jordan nailed it, if you want to believe in lawfulness, which I think most of our listeners do, and certainly you and I do, then you have to apply the law evenly to everyone. You can, which is what I've heard most Republicans say. Look, if you are going to prosecute people for breaking the law, as a protest turns into a riot, that is what American police and American district attorneys should do. But pretending that the January 6th incident was anywhere near as dangerous or long-lasting or significant as the BLM riots of the summer is a fundamental untruth. And so, on the one hand, as Jim Jordan said, Democrats were bailing out everybody who was being arrested during the BLM protest. Can you imagine the reaction if Donald Trump were raising money to bail out people involved in January 6th?
Well, let's look at that juxtaposition for a second, because, yes, you're absolutely correct. But it even goes in the far opposite direction, where you have people who have been held in solitary confinement.
Yes.
Allegedly for their own protection, but actually when you see the court filings, which I have read, you will see on some of them, you will see that the judges say we can't let them out because of the threat of another insurrection. And in at least one case, the so-called QAnon shaman, it's clear the guy has
mental health issues. Yeah.
Keeping this person in solitary confinement as though he's a threat is inhumane, but the frauds at CNN, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the ACLU, the left-wing narrative apparatus, not even media apparatus, has nothing to say about this other than it's necessary to protect our sacred democracy. And, you know, something else that comes to mind, Clay, this plot against Whitmer, which was used right before the election. You remember, oh my gosh, Whitmer was pro-lockdown, and now there's a plot against her of all these people. We find out a dozen FBI informants and or agents involved. One of the FBI agents in the alleged Whitmer plot has now been arrested for severe spousal abuse, assaulting his wife after taking her to a swingers party. So this individual up on the stand, it's going to be quite a scene. That's
a cross-examination I'd like to watch. I mean, you want to talk about a heck of a situation. But to your point, the entire process by which this was sold, as if this were a well-organized plot designed to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, designed like with military precision, all of these things, which basically we had told to us, it looks more and more like the government in many ways manufactured this entire story.
I'm having a harder time when conservatives in good faith come up to me at events or they see me on the street, they want to talk to me, and they'll come to me and they'll have a theory. Maybe you could even say it's a conspiracy theory, but they'll have a theory about something. They'll say to me, Buck, not only do I think the FBI had informants on January 6th on Capitol Hill, switching from Whitmer to Capitol Hill, January 6th for a second, I think the FBI really spurred this on. And I'll say, well, you know, we don't really have the evidence yet. And they'll say to me, can you tell me that that's not possible? And I sit there and I say, no, I actually can't tell you that's not possible, because the next thing they'll say to me is, what about the fact that the entire mainstream media apparatus lied for months about Officer Sicknick on January 6th being beaten to death with a fire extinguisher?
Right.
That fundamentally did not happen and would have been provable and just a matter of fact, certainly within 48 hours of the initial incident. The guy died 2 days after the event actually happened. He, as we know, he died of a stroke. And yet the reporting on this was, you could go back and see, beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. These were murderous insurrectionists. That was a vicious and intentional lie. So when things like that happen, and that's a matter of fact, and then people say to me, a dozen FBI agents there for the inception of the Whitmer plot, and this is all before January
6th. A dozen, by the way. You know this better than most people. That's a major effort.
Yeah. And by the way, I meant informants, so if I mix, but yeah, a dozen informants, and you know, people were basically, they're being handled by, their handlers are, yes, FBI agents. From inception, this plot never really made sense. And note, they're taking it to trial. Only one person has taken some kind of a plea. Everyone else is going to trial on this one, because if you're taking this kind of a thing to trial, usually it means you think you've got a fighting chance, because otherwise the sentences are going to be so severe. But we're getting to the point, Clay, where until there's accountability for the lies about Officer Sicknick being beaten to death, the media lied about that, the lack of willingness to tell us what happened to Ashley Babbitt, who shot her, and what's the legal justification for it, why can't we see the surveillance footage from January 6th? Until we have answers to this, when people come to me and they have a theory, all I can say, and that's assuming I don't agree. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But all I can say about some of these theories that they have is, I can't tell you you're wrong just based on the faith you should have in the DOJ and the FBI, because I come from the CIA and I have very little faith whenever politics are involved that you can trust these places.
And I think that speaks to the overall lack of trust in American institutions in general, which continues to decline. We talked earlier this week about the two least trusted groups in all of the country. And what do you think's involved here? Congress and the media were the two least trusted groups in the entire country by the masses. I think one, Congress has a 12% approval rate, according to a recent Gallup poll, and the media has a 16% approval rate. Both of them are directly involved in January 6th, right? And so when you look at situations like these, I can understand why people at a minimum want to point out the hypocrisy, and certainly at an additional minimum, don't buy into face value explanations they're having shared with them.
Another explanation that no one should buy into is that Democrats are doing a good job on crime, got this thing under control. Biden wanted to tell folks, don't worry about it, we're on it. We got no joke. We got it. It's not true. He does not. You know how he always says that, Clay? Not a joke. Not a joke. No one thinks he's joking. It's like somebody who, you ever meet someone who says no offense at the wrong time? Just say, no offense, man, but it's really sunny outside. You're like, that's not how you say that. Joe Biden does that with not a joke. You know, say, oh, I went for a walk with my grandkid today. Not a joke. Not a joke.
That entire CNN special, journalistic special. By the way, I need to read you how CNN, we talked about this before the show started, and I realized I still haven't done it. When we come back, I need to read you CNN's headline coverage of CNN's town hall with Joe Biden. People will absolutely love it. And by absolutely love it, I mean want to jump off a bridge. We'll talk about it next.
If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important for your overall health as a powerful immune system. That's why over 20 years ago, naturopathic doctor Dennis Black of Texas invented the incredible Texas Superfood, the original superfood. I've known Dr. Dennis Black for years, and he hooked me up with Texas Superfood then. I've had great health because it brings you 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, so you can build your body's defense from the inside out. You know how your grandmother told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and all that fast food, those burgers, those fries, all that stuff, a lot of people don't eat all the fruits and veggies they need to. Well, that's why, in a sense, Texas Superfood is the safety net for your diet. They've been doing it for over 20 years. If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. We are finishing off the Thursday edition of the show. I am here in Los Angeles, the mask capital, unfortunately, of all of America. Our thanks to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, who joined us earlier in the program. Also want to encourage you, go subscribe to the podcast. You can give us 5 stars. You search out my name, Clay, search out Buck. We also, as always, want to say thanks to the 400-plus stations out there that are encouraging and allowing us to have the biggest audience anywhere in radio. And we appreciate all of you in all 50 states who are listening along to us right now. Buck Sexton, the Joe Biden ridiculous town hall. I wanted to make sure that I mentioned how CNN covered said town hall. It is true insanity. This was CNN. They had this on their CNN breaking news in the wake of the Joe Biden town hall.
How will you address gun violence from a federal point of view to actually bring about change and make our local cities safer?
Now, I'm not being a wise guy. There's no reason you should. Have you seen my gun violence legislation I've introduced? As you know, because you're so involved, actually, crime is down. Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns. I'm the only guy that ever got past legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous.
That's Joe Biden talking about the crime, which is out of control. We're going to talk about some tomorrow as well. And it reminds me a little bit of D.C. Mayor Marion Barry, who famously said, D.C. doesn't have a crime rate except for the murders. When you say crime's down except for the murders, it's kind of an important part to not have a lot of murders. But what I wanted to hit you was CNN covering this town hall. You heard us play a lot of those different clips throughout the course of the show. In his CNN town hall, this is CNN breaking news, Biden tackled COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy and misinformation and delivered some tough economic love as he discussed pressing issues. Does that sound like an accurate reflection of what we saw and heard from Joe Biden as CNN, quote, reports on their own town hall?
Joe Biden, everything he says, he will continue to say, and in the same way for the duration of his presidency, because everything that he's been saying for 40 years as a Democrat is essentially the most mediocre pablum you could ever come up with. I mean, it's just, you know, folks, we're going to, you know, middle class and fair shot and people sitting down looking at the bowl in front of them and thinking America. And, you know, you sit there, you say, what is this idiot actually rambling about? But that's everything with him all the time. I mean, you remember when he was supposed to be the foreign policy brain of the Obama administration? That was initially why he was the vice president. They just, whatever they want to say about Joe, they'll say about Joe. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this with Jim Jordan tomorrow in the second hour. Encourage you to listen to that conversation. But I think what you're seeing is, while the Democratic Party claims that they care a great deal about disinformation and all of those assorted aspects, they are the disinformation masters. I mean, you know, I'm reading Harry Potter to my 6-year-old right now. And the Democrats, in many ways, have mastered the dark arts. If you've been reading or watched those films at any point, it's really kind of amazing how they are so adroit and adept at accusing Republicans of things that they themselves are doing and doing more effectively. Oh, that, I mean, it was amazing.
That's a favorite tactic. The favorite during the Obama years that I recall was Obama always just smashing arguments that Republicans were making, except they weren't actually making those arguments, but he would pretend, you know, he'd be like, some people say everyone in America should starve to death and we all hate our own children, but I disagree. That was the Obama move. In the Biden era, the classic Democrat attack has turned into, they're undermining our democracy while, oh, I don't know, a bunch of Texas Democrats are absconding from Austin and not allowing the state legislature to act or not allowing people to leave their homes and go to their churches during COVID. I mean, I think the threat from democracy people are the ones who are always talking about it.
It is amazing. And the guy who's really good at talking about that, Jim Jordan, he's going to join us tomorrow. Encourage you to hang out with us for the second hour. We can't wait to finish out the week with some fun. Also, the Olympics are starting. There's no telling what's going to happen. Buck
there
is
was,
a big fan
there
of
was
Sweden.
A ladies team. First of all, Swedish
You've abandoned
ladies
America.
Soccer team. Go Sweden is all I got to tell you, okay? They don't kneel, and I like the Swedish lady soccer players. I'm just putting it out there. They're nice
You've
ladies.
You've abandoned America.
They work hard. I say go Sweden. And then there was a handball team that didn't want to wear the little short shorts. You know, they got. Did you see that? They got in trouble.
Yeah,
we'll talk
I saw
about that. And Jim Jordan's going to help us put communism in a half Nelson tomorrow, which is going to be a lot of fun. We got that to look forward to. Please check out Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on our various Twitter and Facebook. Follow me, Facebook.com/Buck Sexton. Follow Clay. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.